He never had any girlfriends in his life. Never had any relation with women. Then he took this vow at 25. At the age of, maybe he took it at 24, at the age of 27, our spiritual master left this world and he asked that his disciples take up the position of guru. Guru is a teacher, but is a teacher with very heavy responsibility. Because guru is not just the teacher, but he becomes like the father for the disciple. So he did this at the age of 27. By the age of 35, he realized he couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't remain single. He couldn't take the responsibility. And the burden was crushing him. So he felt rather than try to do it and eventually crash on his face, better he just walk out while nothing went wrong. He didn't run off with any women. He didn't do anything wrong. He just walked out. That was his thinking. My thinking was, you stupid idiot, why don't you save yourself? Because there's so much at stake. Why are you giving in to the weakness? And I was upset. So in retrospect, I realized that after he left, I never called him to ask him how he was doing and if I could help him. In realization that it must have been very difficult to do this at such a young age. To have so much pressure, so much responsibility. And I could have been a friend who helped him. Rather, I saw him as an enemy. It's a different story, right? Another story is, okay, he was young, he tried, he couldn't do it, this is honorable, let's support him. That would have been another story. If I had that story, do you think I would have been upset for 18 years? Of course not. Right? It would have been like, oh, I feel sorry for him. That's all. Now, you want to hear something really cool? You use that word in Israel? Cool? Because they use it everywhere in the world, right? I saw him 2 or 3 years ago for the first time. So, boy, we are in 2012. It was either 2009 or 2010 I saw him. So that was 23, 24 years I hadn't seen him. And we were having, it was a festival in Los Angeles, in America, and I saw him there. And he used to live in Los Angeles, and he came for the festival. And he saw me for the first time. And when he saw me, he put his head down. He couldn't look at me. Because I was one of the main people he was working with. And he said two things to me. He said, please forgive me. I know I let you down. Which would have really been an emotional thing if I hadn't forgiven him yet. But I already had. So I just had so much appreciation. But at the same time, I realized that when he left and he did that, he was feeling regret. The whole time that he did that. The whole time I was hating him, he was regretting it. So there was really no reason for me to hate him. Even from a material point of view. Isn't that interesting? That sometimes people do some things to us and they may be actually regretting it or feeling guilty in some way or feeling helpless in some way and we don't know that. Right? Now, here's another important point. Should I tell you another important point? I know many of you are thinking, I can forgive if they just apologize. It would be really easy. If they just apologize, whoa. And he's thinking, they're never going to apologize. Is that what you're thinking? They're never going to apologize, or it wouldn't matter? some of us are thinking it'll be easy if they apologize. Some of us may be thinking they never will apologize. I need a key. Who has a key I can borrow? I promise I'll give it back. You don't trust me? You have all these witnesses? Okay. So, many keys. This key is the key to forgiveness. Key to my forgiveness. You all see it? The black one? Key to my forgiveness. I'm going to give this to you. We'll say for the sake of this, you're the one who hurt me. Now I've given him the key to forgiveness. The key is his apology. If he apologizes, then I can forgive him. So I get the key back. Those are my keys, actually. I gave him my keys. Those are not his keys. For the sake of the skit, those are my keys. I gave him my key to forgiveness. Now I'm waiting for him to apologize. 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. As you know, some people who've hurt you are not going to apologize, no matter how long you wait. Right? But I'm waiting, and I'm telling all my friends, I can't forgive him until he apologizes. Now, another problem is he may not know he's hurt me, so he's never going to apologize because there's nothing in his mind to apologize for. And I'm waiting for that. So I might be waiting for a person who doesn't know they hurt me. I might be waiting for a person who's incapable of apologizing. I'm in a bad situation because I can't forgive him until he apologizes. Is that smart? What do you think? Is that smart? Pretty stupid, right? What have I done? I have placed the power to forgive in his hands, and they're no longer in my hands. What can I do? I can't forgive. Many, many people place conditions on their forgiveness. And that's why they don't forgive. If this would happen, I could forgive. If that would happen, I could forgive. I'll forgive 10 years from now, it won't be. The time will heal all wounds. Sometimes 10 years is worse. You hate more. So forgiveness is in our hands. And there may be so many things preventing our forgiveness that we put in other people's hands. Well, I can forgive, but it's my sister. It's my relative. If anyone else did it, I could forgive, but you can't forgive a relative who does that. Another key you just gave to another person. I could forgive, but what they did was so bad, nobody should forgive anybody of that. Another key you give away. And we give so many keys, right? So, once I decide to give, the power is in my hands. Simple, right? Is it simple? In here it's simple, yeah. But you understand the principle? Some of us have ourselves tied. We can't forgive because we made conditions upon which forgiveness must happen. And unless they happen, we won't untie it. But who tied our hands? We did. Right? Where our hands are tied, I can't forgive. But we tied them. So who can untie them? Same person who tied them. Yes? Yes or yes? So what I'd like to do is a little exercise here. And in this exercise, I would like you to do something that's illogical from the material point of view, but very logical from the spiritual point of view, is to begin to think what lesson is there that I could learn, what qualities could I develop, how I could grow through this experience that I've had with another difficult situation with another person.
Can you say that again?
What can I learn? How can I grow through the difficult situation I've had with another person? So I'll explain this in terms of karma. How many have heard of the word karma? How many of you haven't? Karma means whatever you do, what goes around, comes around. That's karma. Okay? But why does karma exist? Very interesting why karma exists. Karma does not exist to punish us. Karma exists to educate us, to help us, to move us forward. But we have to understand that, otherwise it doesn't move us forward, it moves us down. Because we may reject things in life as bad, which were actually meant to help move us forward. For example, if you eat the wrong combination of food, what happens? Something happens. That's not good, right? You can get a stomachache. You can get tired. You can get sick. You can get fat. You can get skinny. Something can happen. So, do you think it's a good idea that when you eat the wrong food, you get a stomachache? Think that's a good idea? I mean, think it has a useful purpose?
No. Yes.
Yes. What's the purpose? To educate us that we ate the wrong thing. It's not healthy. The body's rejecting it, right? What if you took little bits of poison every day and your body didn't react to it? One day you would just die. So it's good that your body reacts. Karma is exactly the same thing. In your life, when things are not going right, it's meant to be a sign you've done something to create this. But what do we often do? We tend to blame situations and people. We don't tend to look at what our effect had on the situation. Have you ever heard the saying, wherever there's an, whenever you had an argument, you were there? Like, you're blaming this other person for an argument. You had to have something to do with it. But it doesn't seem like that all the time. It just seems like another person's fault. So we have so much to do with what's going on in our life, and oftentimes it's very difficult to accept that responsibility. Right? It's easier to blame a situation or a person for problems we have, rather than say, I created this situation. So that's what karma is. We create situations which produce results. Sometimes they're very good results. Sometimes they're very bad results. But in either case, it's educational. If you allow it to be. And then it moves you forward. Now here's a lesson. That's very important. If you learn a lesson and you stop committing the mistake, there'll be no reaction, bad reaction anymore. When you learn a lesson, you'll tend to alter your consciousness and alter your actions. And then you'll see in your life, things will change. Have you noticed in your life that certain things keep happening over and over and over again? Anyone notice that? That means we're not learning. For some people, that over and over is marriage and divorce, marriage and divorce, marriage and divorce. There's the same mistake is going on, and they're not learning. When they learn, things change. Right? Does that make sense? So, now we want to discover what we are meant to learn by this situation we've been through. So maybe it can be the situation that you want to deal with here, which would be the best thing, or maybe there's another situation in your life that comes to mind and you want to look at it in terms of what the lesson is. Everything carries a lesson. Every person in your life, even the ones you hate, are teachers. Did you know that? Because within every person that comes into your life is a lesson. If you can see it, if you care to look for it, if you care to acknowledge it. Like sometimes someone will say, I had this really horrible teacher. They were so mean and strict, and they gave us so much homework, and they had such high standards, and I hated the class. And they'll say, but it was the best class I ever took. Because of that teacher, I'm successful. I learned discipline, I learned study habits, but I hated it. So if you look at your life, you'll see you went through so many horrible situations that made you so much stronger today. Horrible situations, which you learned so much. Right? And if you look back at your life and say, my life would not be as good as it is today if I didn't have that situation. There would be part of me that would be weak without going through it. Right? Everybody says that. And you'll say, I hate to go through it again. I don't want to go through it again, but it helped me. So, now, get together with your partner, and I want you to discover, each of you will have time to talk, discover, and you can help one another if one's having a hard time. Help one another discover what the person that you called, or you're calling your abuser, offender, has to offer you. What lesson? And if you want to get really bold, take it further. How did you attract them into your life? You really want to get really bold. How are you responsible for their behavior? Wow. Taking it a bit far. But you can explore these things. Are you ready? Okay. Those who are not ready, this is going to help you the most. You need it the most if you're not ready. There's a lesson there. Try to uncover it. And if you're having trouble, just come to me and I'll help you. Okay?